this last year, 2010, God spoke to us and said, enlarge, something we were to do, enlarge the place of your tent. And what that meant was we should prepare, because she that hath no children, she that was barren, will suddenly have more children than the married woman. So the desolate woman will have more than the married woman. What he's saying is, stretch out your curtains, lengthen your cords, don't spare, deepen your stakes, because I'm about to bless you in an outward way, not in an inward spiritual way, but in an outward way. But before I do that, in 2010, I want you to prepare, in other words, prepare your hearts. Because how many know that God is not into tents? He's not thinking of tents. The tent is not the issue. It's just enlarge your tent, because it's just a tent could be a building or a temple or a habitation or a house or a family or a household. But in the end, it's all about people. It has nothing to do with where you live or where you inhabit. Because God does not live in this building. We don't come to church. God will not be contained in any building made by man. In the Greek language, it's called naos. God is not an inhabitor of a naos. Now, in the Old Testament, we know he was. He told them, I will meet with you in the Holy of Holies, in the holiest part of the temple, the place where that's the only place you're going to find me. And so they had three different sections, the outer porch, then the central holy place, and then finally behind a curtain, there was the Holy of Holies, and that's where God met with his people. But that has been completely overcome. And unfortunately, and I want you to listen carefully, even though that was true in the Old Testament, that God said, you know, that's where I'll meet with you, the truth is, he still, in the Old Testament, told them, I don't dwell in buildings or in tents or in any place. And Jesus said, completely changed the whole thing, and said, those that worship God don't worship him in Jerusalem or in the temple of Jerusalem or in the Holy of Holies of Jerusalem or in the land of Israel. Those that worship God don't worship on this mountain or on any other mountain. But they that worship must worship him in spirit and in truth. In other words, you are the temple. You are the house of God. You are the household of God. You have been born again to be the habitation of God. So the place of God is not a building or a location or a country or a town or anything physical. In other words, nothing external. These clothes, they don't make any difference. Let's say I wore robes. I used to wear robes, by the way. Let's say I wore robes. That's worthless. Let's say we have nice buildings. Those are worthless. It's not that they're evil as much as they're evil if you think that's where God, that he pays attention to collars and clothing and outward things. Nothing external. Nothing external. Or let me put it differently. Nothing created by man matters. The church is completely a spiritual house. You are that spiritual house. Now, the normal person out in the world, whether they're Buddhists or Hindus or atheists or agnostics or, you know, skinny people or women or men or children or boys and girls or whatever, they are not the house of God. They are not the temple of God. Only those that have been born again, who do no work, because it can't be a building made by human hand, he won't dwell in anybody except those that praise him and thank him and worship him, because there's nothing to be done because he's done it all. So if you make the building, it's got your fingerprint on it, he won't enter it. If you wear a certain kind of clothing, he's not going to honor it. So anything external is changed now with Jesus, who said, that which is of the spirit is spirit, and that which is of the flesh is flesh. Left hand, flesh. Right hand, spirit. If you're born again, then buildings don't count. And that's why Jesus said, destroy this temple and in 3 days I'll build it up. They thought he was talking about the Jewish temple, which had taken 46 years to build. He wasn't. The scripture tells us that he was speaking about his body. We are the body. He is the head, we are the body. He is the bridegroom, we are the bride. Who you are, your identity, is everything. Who you are depends totally on who God is. For example, if Jesus is a man, you're a man. But if Jesus is God, then you're no longer a man, but you have become born again, and you are part of the Godhead. That is, you are part of God's house, family, temple, church, being, because you're born of God. Ektoutheou, out of God. So you're one with God, and so the buildings don't matter. I mean, we have a building, but it's just a convenience. We could meet out in the street. We could meet in a car. We could meet anywhere. As a matter of fact, let's say you had, 45, 50 members. Let's say you had 10,000 members. It's irrelevant. It doesn't matter how many people you have in a building. The building is just simply something to house you, keep you out of the rain. There's only, the church is only those two people in that church that heard and saw God that day. In other words, let's say you had 10,000 members, but only two of them were the church. Which two? And you couldn't have a church without these two. The only two that you would have that would be the church should be the one that heard God and saw God that day, the living God. And the other one who said, me too. Now, once you have that, you have a church. So you could have two or three. There I am, where two or three are gathered in my name, in my nature. Not just say, Jesus, but actually be in his very nature, in reality. That is the church, and that is where I am in the midst. So a church is not like a Jewish thing. The Jewish thing is over. If that ever was anything, it's gone now. When Jesus died on the cross, you remember when he died on the cross, when he was crucified? And he gave up the Spirit, it said, at that moment, God from heaven above, because the curtain was ripped from the top to the bottom. So it wasn't anything man could do from the bottom. It was something that happened that God ripped it open, and therefore there is now no outer court, there's no holy place, there is only the Holy of Holies, and you are that Holy of Holies. I don't know if you understand what I just said. Your identity is, it creates your capacity. You can't do things in heavenly way unless you are a heavenly person. So identity creates your capacity, and it determines your destiny. Where you came from is where you're going. Your origin, if you're born here in America, then you participate in those things that Americans do. If you're born in Mexico, you participate in those things that Mexicans do. Wherever you're born, wherever you come from, that's where you're going. If you're born of the earth, you're going back to the earth, dirt to dirt. If you're born of heaven, then you're no longer of the dirt. This is the flesh. This is the spirit. Jesus said, that which is born of the spirit is spirit, whereas that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and never the two shall meet. So, flesh is gone forever. When Jesus came to introduce the kingdom of God and declare it, he was talking about a new kind of naos. It's not only better than what was before, it is what the thing before was a type or a shadow of. In other words, when the Jewish people worshipped in their temple or their tent or tabernacle or whatever, that was just a type and a shadow. That wasn't the real thing. Never was the real thing. So Jewish religion, which is strictly external, circumcision, robes, candles, buildings, outer courts, nonsense. All gone. Why? Not nonsense because at the time it was all right. It was accepted by God that you did it outwardly because no one was born again. But those who by faith look forward to the real thing, like Abraham, who was looking for a city with foundation, he did not believe that the civilization of his day was the real thing. And he was looking for a different foundation than human works. And that's why he's the father of faith. He was looking for faith in God's finished work, not in man building a civilization. So he came out of the city of Ur, which was one of the great civilizations in the ancient world, followed Babel, and then Ur, all found in the land of Mesopotamia, Persia, Iran, all those countries today that we know about. Those countries are worthless. They're just simply dirt with paint on them. All they are is just, you know, human effort to put a little labor to something natural and then call it divine. Not so. So he was looking for a city with foundations, which means that the foundation of our church is not a building. Jesus is not a stone out in the middle of the corner of this building. No, we are the church. The building is nothing. We could sell the building tomorrow and let it go. We could meet in another building. We can meet anywhere we want. We can meet in the living room. You are the church. The church is the bar that he went to as long as there were two there who heard and saw God. There I am in the midst. Where two are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst. So Jesus set up a whole new understanding, which was the original understanding in heaven. Even though on earth, men misunderstood and thought the building was church. He said, let's go to church. You can't go to church if you are the church. And how many do you need? Two. As an individual, you're not the church, but as long as there's one other, you're the church. So the church is in a shopping center. It can be anywhere. It can be in an office building. The church can be in the hospital. The church can be anywhere where two are gathered in my name. So a church is not where a pastor is or where the baptismal font is or whether there's a cross on the wall and stained glass windows on the building. Yet all religions of this world are known for their buildings. And they all think, even Christians, even Protestants, the Jewish people were the ones that thought, you know, this temple, the temple. In fact, when Rome was about to destroy them, they all ran to the temple. Like that would be a sanctuary, a place of safety. And in the Old Testament, it was said, the temple, the temple, the temple of the Lord. As though there was safety in a building, or in a location, or in a priest, or in some kind. See, when you have a sacrificial system, you need to have some kind of an altar upon which a priest sacrifices. Well, that's over. When Jesus Christ came, he said, it's over. No more lambs will be slaughtered. No more goats, no more doves, no more blood will be shed. My blood will suffice. My blood will be all sufficient. Mine alone, no one else's, mine. So he was unique and all sufficient. And from that moment on, the temple was ripped apart. There's no more outer court. There's no more holy place. There's nothing but the presence of Almighty God living in his people wherever they are, whether they're traveling, whether they're in a bus or a car or a train or a tent or a house or a temple, doesn't make any difference. There is no temple except us. Now, that was always God's idea. Does that make sense to you? So what God was saying last year is enlarge the place of your tent, your tabernacle, your house, your building. It was a spiritual house. So he was telling us, enlarge, because I'm about to bless you with children, that is, with fruit, with ministry. How? How? That was 2010, but 2011, now, this year, is going to be a year of harvest and increase. Not my idea, has nothing to do with me, has nothing to do with you. You can't make it happen. You might be involved in it, but you can't make it happen. You can just simply believe it or not. God has told us, prepare, get ready, because when I give you children, you're going to have more space. But again, it's not a building. It just simply means make room in your heart. Make room in your heart. You're pregnant like Mary. You're pregnant with the power of Almighty God. And here's what it says in Isaiah, the 54th chapter, that was our verse for last year, is the Father who created the heavens and the earth is your maker. That's your husband. In other words, he is coming into your tent or your house or your household or your family, which happens to be his, to be your husband. And what he's talking about is Jesus as the bridegroom. What he's talking about is you as the bride. She that bore no children was because she didn't have a husband. It wasn't because she was incapable of having children. It was that she didn't have a husband to impregnate her with heavenly children. Now, the purpose of our church is not for our church, but for the world. This building that we use is just a use. It's not owned by us. It's not ours. It's just something you use. It's just something you can use. You can use the thing across the street. You can use anything. It's just a convenient place. So you don't have to own it. You just have to use it. And you can fix it up if you want, and you can clean it, and so on and so forth. But don't worship the building, or don't think it's sacred space. Sacred space means, and this is true of the Roman Catholic Church, this is true also of Protestant churches, this is true of the Jewish, Muslim, Hindu, Buddhist, they all have sacred space somewhere. For example, if I would go to Russia, which I have done, and I walk into a Greek Orthodox church or a Russian Orthodox church, and I enter in, I would enter from the outside, and then I would head for, and there would be a big screen called an iconostasis. It's an icon, it's an image. Behind it, if you opened it up, and I did, by the way, you're not supposed to do this, but since I don't believe in sacred space, I just did it. And so I went up to the altar area, up to the railing, up to the iconostasis, and looked behind. And what did I see on the back wall? Of course, there's a communion table in there, and there's an altar in there. But on the back wall is a picture of Mary. Mary, huge, humongous Mary, the mother. And so therefore, that church is all built around, you know, human. You know, that God chose a person and so on, not realizing the spiritual meaning of that is that she was pregnant with what is holy. She herself is not immaculate. She's not immaculately conceiving. She just simply, it meant she wasn't impregnated by a human. But God did impregnate her. But they want to worship the thing, the natural, the creature, rather than the creator. But God wants the opposite. So, there's nothing extraordinary about it. And to prove it, I when I was walking in, I did look at that, and they wanted to charge me and so on and so forth. And but since I'm not, like they said, shh, meaning this is holy ground. Take off your shoes kind of thing. But I didn't do it. Why? Not because I'm mean or nasty. It's just because I don't believe in that theology. To me, that's a sacrilege. So I didn't honor. I didn't respect. I do not. And I never will. Why? Because it's not of God. It's not something that God honors. Now, I wasn't offending someone, but I just simply wasn't paying attention to the building. The building is just a building. So I went in and I asked my guide, I said, you know, wow, this is really neat. It's just beautiful. It's a pretty church. And God, you know, Father God way up in a dome up front and four pillars, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And then there were pictures all over the walls. Now, I looked around and I saw, you know, men and women, and they were the saints. Ah, I said, ah, they're the saints of God. So not only do you have God the Father way up in the dome, can hardly see him, you have to go way down and look way up. God, can you see me down here? And he was way up, so it's very hard to see him. And then Jesus is smaller, and Mary is really big. So she's the one you're close to. Why? Because there's kind of a ladder or a pyramid thing where in order to get to the Father, you have to go through the Son, through Mary, through the Gospels, through. You have to get the secretaries and so on to try to finally, you know, get to the high muckety muck. But, you know, I didn't like that idea. So I didn't honor that. So I was there. I asked, you know, everybody comes. This was Palm Sunday. Palm Sunday in, I believe I was in Kiev, which is the Ukraine, but it doesn't matter where I was. And so, but everybody, communists, everybody attends church, not on Easter, but on Palm Sunday. And it's just a big celebration. So everybody was there with their babushkas on, and, you know, everybody's got their head covered and so on. But I'm a foreigner, you know, just gawking. And to me, it's not sacred space. To me, I do not believe in the nonsense that's going on there. I don't believe in buying the candles they have for you, kissing the icons they have for you, you know, honoring, you know, the Mother Mary in some kind of, you know, adoration as though she were almost part of God. I don't believe any of that. So I asked the lady next to me, I said, now, what's happening here? You know, it's all very hush-hush and mysterious, and everybody's, you know, they're intoning the introit and so on and so forth. And she said, oh, well, all of these are saints. Oh, which one's that? That's Saint Caterina. Ah, Caterina. E. Caterina. Oh, wow, she's a saint. And that one over there, Saint so-and-so. And so I realized I was in an illustrious house. So I just so happened to have one of my extra passport pictures in my pocket. And I just so happened, because I'm a teacher, I happen to have some scotch tape. So I took it out, and I put some scotch tape on it, and I went over to the wall, because that was where all the saints were. And I put my picture right there, and I had to get through all the crowd. It's very hard. It's just packed up. Put that right there. Now I felt a lot better. I was making a statement to my guide, to the people that were with me, that this is not sacred space. And by not honoring the nonsense that takes place in what's supposed to be a Christian church, but there's nothing Christian about a building. A building cannot be holy. This is not holy space. Selling candles. And I also noticed a lot of the men were going forward and confessing their sins, and then they paid the priest right there in the church. Paid the priest a lot of money. That was one of his biggest money-making days of the year. In other words, he made well over a third to a half of his whole salary for the whole year. Because nobody goes to church the other Sundays. This is the only time. A handful of babushka-wearing women go to church, but the men don't even go. At any rate, all of the liturgical stuff over the years is an abomination today in the sight of God. Why? I'll tell you why. Because it's not the truth. It's something that binds people. There is no such thing as a bunch of saints. You're a saint not because you did some thing. It's because of who you are. You're a saint because you actually have faith that there's nothing you can do. So you're not proud to be on the wall. I put mine on there to indicate how foolish the thing was. Is, well, I'm a saint. You know, I'm as good as Ekaterina. So I'm putting my picture up there too. And of course, they were horrified that I did that. But it gave me an opportunity to later teach what it is. And I could tell you story after story of how that did transform those people's lives that were with me. Because one lady said, we can't pray outside of church. I said, who told you that? She said, because thus and so and thus and so. I said, well, that's not true. Here's what the scripture says. But they're not allowed to read the scripture. And they're not allowed to pray except in church. So they interpreted it as, you cannot pray except there be a priest. So you pray with the priest and pay him and kiss the icon and buy the candle. So if you're really sincere and serious, and the more I learned, the more ungodly it became. Because it's a money-making deal. It's you know, it has nothing to do with sinlessness. It has to do with some kind of outward show of religion. I do not believe an outward show of religion. Why? Because it says in the Bible, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In other words, they're not holy because they did something. They're not holy because of what they did, but who they are. The only way you are holy is by faith. Faith means that everything has been done that needs to be done, and you can't add anything to it. Faith does not mean, okay, now I had faith, now I need to produce some works that go along with the faith. No. Faith means I cannot do any works because Jesus Christ has done them all. He's done everything to forgive my sins. He's done everything to transform me. He's done everything, and therefore I'm a saint because he is. In other words, I'm not good, but he is good. And what makes me good is his goodness. What makes me kind is his kindness. Religion has turned everything differently so that I have to go and be a lay person, and the priest has to stand up front and be separated from me so that he is special. So if I stand up here, I'm more special than if I stand here. And certainly if I just get down with the riffraff. because I'm special, I should wear special robes, say special things, do special things. And so I was trained this way because even Protestants do the same thing. Roman Catholics do it. They call that the narthex, call this the nave, and they call that the chancel. So it's the same as the Jewish, which is the same as the Russian Orthodox, which is the same as many Protestant churches, as a matter of fact, all through the history of this country, even up till today. Many churches, most churches, are actually built on the same tripartite sectionalism found in the Old Testament. No. You see, it'd be all right if they understood that was just symbolic. But actually, people take seriously, you're on holy ground. You have holy water at the door. You have some kind of thing, all the sacerdotal activities that go on. Look, the pastor is just a person. And even though he's set aside by God, it's you, the people, that are the church. You don't go to the church or participate in the church somehow. You are the church. And God dwells in his people, not in buildings made with hands. Does that make sense to anybody?
Yeah.
Now, what I just did was destroyed almost all religion and almost all Christian religion. Because there is no such thing. When Jesus died on that cross, he told the truth that set men free from all of that ceremony and all of that killing and sacrificing. There's no more need for a sacrifice. Jesus' blood shed forever for all mankind, once and for all. Therefore, there's no need for a priest because he's our high priest. And therefore, there's no need for a temple because he is the temple, and he said, you are the temple. Why? Why is he the temple so that you're the temple? Because whatever he is, you is. As he is, so we are. Now, when Jesus then said, you are the temple, he actually said, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. How is that? In John, it tells us that was intended was not that he was talking about the 46-year building of Herod. The Jewish people had built that temple in 46. He was talking about his body. When you kill me, on the third day I'll rise again. You are that tripartite spirit, soul, body. And the most important is the body. If you don't have the identity out in the spirit, a new heart, you can't do the body. Because your identity, who you are, determines your capacity, which then determines completely your destiny. So, who I am is important. Now, I'm going to say it in a different way. Who is Jesus? If, as I said earlier, he's just a man, then that's all we are. But if he's the Son of God, then we also are sons of God. But you couldn't be made into God's son if he isn't. Because he said, come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. In other words, rest is holiness. If you do anything, if you labor at all, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. It's a gift. It's not earned. Don't do anything. Don't think anything. Don't say anything. Just trust that what I've told you is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So when Jesus set up his church, he called it his body. He's the head, we're the body. He is not the church. Jesus is not the church. He's the head of the church. You are the church. He is the head of the church. So he is not the temple. It's just that you and he are one because he's the bridegroom and you're the bride. So therefore, though I'm his body, I'm also his bride. It's all because I was born again back there, born anothen, not born of the flesh, but reborn, recreated of the spirit. Now, do you know who you are? You are the beloved of God. First of all, he changes your heart. Then he changes your soul. Then he changes your outward behavior and body. You don't do it by religion. You don't earn your way into God. It actually is given to you way out there when you get a new identity. Therefore, you have a new capacity. Therefore, you have a new destiny. Now, who you are is you're not part of this world anymore. You are a Christian born of God, anothen, born from above. Born again is just the English way of saying it because you were born naturally and then you were born spiritually. So it's again. But really, it doesn't say that. It says born from above, anothen. Born from thence, born from somewhere else. So your birth now, and how did you get that? What did you do to get that? Nothing. All you did was believe that Jesus was somebody who? The Son of God who became the Son of Man? No. He was always the Son of God and the Son of Man. If he isn't the Son of God, identity, he can't do the works of the Son of Man, capacity. So, Jesus is Son of God so that he can be the Son of Man. Or, he can only do the works of the Son of Man, which is to suffer and die, and then rise again and be the Lord. All of that is his ministry, Savior and Lord. He can only be Savior and Lord if, in fact, he is the Son of God. If he's not the Son of God, then he cannot save you and he cannot lord you. He cannot build a holy house. You are the house, not a church, not a denomination, not a building, not an organization, not a bunch of ceremonies, not a bunch of vestments, not anything. Now, everybody in the world believes the opposite. They're wrong. What God is doing is calling you his naos. In other words, God inhabits the praises of his people. Why praise? Because the praise means that I thank him that there's nothing to do. I praise him for who he is. And I adore him because he is now my beloved and we are one. As the Son of God, he is equal to the Father. As the Son of Man, he gave up his equality with the Father. He counted it not something to be grasped. But he emptied himself and he took on the form of a servant, never saying his words, never doing his deeds, because it was the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. So he sent him down to be your Savior and die for you. The lamb that was slain, the curtain was ripped. Now all of a sudden there's no more need for bloodshed. There's no more need for a sacrifice. There's no more need for an altar. There's no more need for a temple. There's no longer a need for a priesthood. Now it's finished forever. Now you can come in boldly. In through the curtain. Why? Because the curtain's been ripped open. Now there is no curtain. There are no walls. There's nothing out there. The sacrifice has been made forever. The priests are no longer necessary. Everybody's a priest now. Why? Because you're the temple. You are the priesthood of all believers. Anybody who's a believer in Jesus Christ is a priest. What do priests do? At this point, you know the only thing that priests do? Us? Praise him. Thank him. Worship him. Why? Is that a work we do? No, not at all. Here is the work, Jesus said. The work is to believe on the Son of God, that I did everything. I did everything in the outer court. I did everything in the holy place. I did everything in the Holy of Holies. I've done it all. And now, enter into my joy. Don't wait for it. Don't wait for it someday in heaven. Start now. You are already in heaven now. I'm in heaven. Is anybody here in heaven? I'm already there. Now, I know I don't look like heaven, but if I had a robe on, I would look more like heaven. And if I said it in Latin, hoc est corpus meum, this is my body, then everybody would know, the way he intoned, I realize that is God. Especially if I sang it in a mellifluous way. And by the way, I used to do that all the time. I can do it in Latin. Do it in Hebrew, do it in Greek. You can do it in all kinds of languages to give the obvious difference between the professional, the person that's set aside and more holy, and then y'all. You see, you're the common, not so, a lie from the pit of hell. There's no difference then between the priest who's up front and the people who are out here. You see, the people live in the nave. They would have they would even bring horses into the nave. But they couldn't go into the chancellery, the Holy of Holies. They would have sales. They would sell goods, all kinds of things in the nave, because this was the people's part here, and they're just simply bystanders. They're passive. They don't do anything. The Reformation began to change that. So no longer was the altar put at the back wall, the east wall. It's always on the east. Remember that the Holy of Holies for the Jews was in the west. This shows that we're not Jewish. Nonsense. It's all nonsense. But, so we put it back there, and then the communion table was in front of the altar. So the altar was unto God. The communion table is for us to approach unto God, but not too close. So they put up a railing. The railing is like the iconostasis. It keeps you away so that you remember your place. Sit at the back of the bus. Please, don't come forward too far. Then they have choirs, all kinds of things that keep a distance between the high priest and the regular folk. And so, Therefore, you have the difference between the bishops and the pastors and the elders. They're all the same. The difference between the people and the priests, we're all priests. Then what am I? A servant. A servant who lays down his life and has no words of his own, no deeds of his own. I'm only to make sure that you grow and find out who you are, tell you the truth that will set you free. My job is not only to preach from the pulpit. This is a pulpit. This was a thing added, by the way. It wasn't in the Roman Catholic Church. This was something that the Protestants added, is to minimize the altar and maximize the pulpit. But then the Anglican Church during the time of Elizabeth, Archbishop Laud, and others, they began to try to restore it. So the Anglican Church never wanted to be Protestant. They didn't want to put the pulpit out front. So they kept the altar, and that's why the Anglican Church is very much like a Catholic Church in form. But in theology, it's trying to stay Protestant. So it decided it was neither Catholic nor Protestant. It was something in the middle. All complete human nonsense, no scripture whatsoever. And all the books that are written on it, all are dialectic. That is, doublespeak, trick language. Now, what I just said, that God will not dwell in temples made with hands. Anything you put your fingerprint on, he smells that, and he won't touch it. All your deeds must be wrought in God, meaning you didn't do any. Jesus said of himself, the Father who dwells in me doeth the works. I don't even do good works. I'm the Son of Man. The Son of Man is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. In other words, he is the greatest and the highest of men. But what did he say of himself as the greatest and the highest? He said of himself, I am among you as one who serves. I did not come to be served. I did not come to be lifted up, except to be crucified. I came to humble myself so that you might become the people of God. In other words, the husband lifts up the wife. He takes the burden. She gets the blessing. Do you see, this is a new understanding that the Protestant Reformation stumbled upon, but then lost. And it's been lost until our day. People still believe that going to church is going to a building or a place, and they have to have it. No, these are just simply practical things, have nothing to do with holiness at all. They're not holy. You don't have to dedicate them unless you dedicate them, as we do, to use. We just use it. It's just simply useful, and the minute you don't use it anymore, it just goes back to common use. In other words, this could be a pigsty again. What's amazing is in the Middle Ages, for 1,000 years, what they did in churches, they didn't do it in the chancel area, which was God's area. They did it out here in the nave, which was the people's area. And they didn't have pews, by the way. In the medieval churches, there was just an open space. So they would have all kinds of, you know, beer, ale. People got drunk. People did naughty things. The priests would dress up with masks on. They would do bad things and so on and so forth and make spoof and fun. They had what they called the Feast of Fools and so on and so forth. The church was a mockery. But since it wasn't that Holy of Holies part, it was just out here, and the priests were wearing masks, so they were looking like they were ordinary people. But they dressed up burlesque style, and they did grotesque things. Now, all I'm trying to tell you is the church has never been God's church. That was not what he wanted. Neither was the chancel any better. Those were the same priests that were up there. Now they're down here dressed up and doing naughty things. You see, the church is not someone else or something else. It's you. You are the church of the living God. Holiness is you. How are you made holy? By being holy? No. By him being holy, coming and lifting you up, giving you a new birth. Now you are born of God. Now you are restored here so that the Holy Spirit is in you, in the nave. And you actually are now the Holy of Holies. And all the works that you do, all the worship, all the works, everything you do is born of the Spirit. You're born back there so that you have a new identity. Now you have a new capacity, and therefore you have a new destiny. Our purpose on this earth is not to just believe in Jesus, outer, narthex, porch, way out there. Nor is it to just be a disciple of Jesus and try to clean up a few things. No. Our whole purpose is now to be holy, born again, filled with the Spirit, and led of the Spirit, walking in God. So you're born of the Spirit, filled with the Spirit, led of the Spirit, That is what the Jewish temple was all about, what the Catholic Church was supposed to do away with and then symbolize. But you know what? Symbols are no longer needed when you have the real thing. When that which is perfect is come, you do away with that which is imperfect. Now, you either are or you aren't. If you don't know your destiny, if you think that you are going to get better and better, like maybe you thought you were better this week than you were a week ago. I've had a good week. I've been praying my Bible a little bit, and I've come to church twice. It's going to be a good year. No, it doesn't work that way. You are never capable of doing anything. You never will do anything. It never could be done. If it isn't already done, you can't do it. If Jesus Christ didn't do it on the cross, you can't do it. And he didn't just do it on the cross. He actually, it was done before the foundation of the world and just declared on the cross. He just made effective what already was. We enter into the finished work. That's why he said, come unto me, all that labor heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, learn of me, for I'm gentle, lowly of heart. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. Now, you may not understand anything of what I just said, but I just demolished Christendom. I just demolished Judaism, Hinduism, Buddhism, religion. Religion is the darkness of this world. True religion is the one I just told you, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, and now God is in you. You are the temple of the Holy Ghost. You are God's habitation, and when you speak, it should be God. When you act, it should be God. Now you say, well, maybe in heaven, Pastor, but not here. No. It must start here if you actually know who you are. But if you still want to play half in the world and half in God, you're welcome to. But you cannot call yourself Christian. Well, I think I am, Pastor. You know, how much ale do you still consume? How much adultery do you still commit? How much of this world is still of you? You do not really believe. It isn't what you think you are, it's what you think he is. He did not come to do that. You cannot put that on him. Jesus Christ came to actually change this world, not just church. He killed the church, that is, killed you psychologically, so that you yielded to him, submitted to this truth, which is, there's nothing to do. His love is what kills me. Yes, well, then what do I do? Nothing. What could you do? Well, I can think some things and do some things and be some things. No, unacceptable. It's already been done. Jesus is perfect. It's over. You can't add to it. You can't subtract from it. Finished. Up in heaven. Solid. Nobody can attack it. Satan can't touch it. Nobody can take away who you are. Because it was the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Now, he has come. You're probably thinking, I'm never going to get to the scripture. That's what I'm thinking. But it's all right. I'm burning. I'm just telling you, the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. It's not externals. The kingdom of God is that God himself inhabits you. And if you're full of praise, that means you're not full of your own works. That means your personality, your selfishness, your, you know, helping God out and being glorious is not what God wants. God wants his finished work to be displayed, not yours. He doesn't want you to work on anything. He wants to give you a free gift. He wants you to celebrate. He wants you to be free from this world, not part of the world, not because you behave differently, but because you are. And if you know who you are, identity, then you'll have a new capacity, which will then give you your final destiny, which is to be enthroned on high. You realize you're not going to be seated with Christ. You already are. You're not going to become the bride of Christ. You are. Now, what God, the hope of glory. And here, everything is lined up perfectly because I'm not doing anything and I'm not taking credit for it. The reason why, though you may not understand this, Peggy and I have a perfect marriage is because we don't expect anything from one another. We don't judge one another, criticize one another, whatever. We love each other because I don't really care what's in the cup. I'm sorry. I don't really care about the cup, what it looks like. I don't care what Peggy looks like, how she acts and behaves. I only want to know what's inside that cup. It's God himself living in us as a temple, a cup, a container. We contain the living God wherever we go. So I receive from God, my wife, I receive from that container God, His blessing, His love. So I thank her, but I'm really thanking God. God, thank you for the wife you gave me. God, thank you for the husband you gave me. Do you see why our marriage is solid? It's solid. It has nothing to do with outward. It has nothing to do with, you know, the pigsty here or, you know, some iconostasis there with Big Mary. It has nothing to do with any of that. It has to do with the finished work of Jesus in the outer court, in the holy place, and in the Holy of Holies. Jesus Christ finished it. You are now in the Holy of Holies. You're not going there. You are there. But you don't know your identity. Therefore, you don't have a capacity. Therefore, your destiny is questionable. You don't know where you're going. That's why people are uncertain. You should never be uncertain. You should know it's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Not tomorrow, not in heaven, now. You should be celebrating right now. That's why you thank. That's why you praise. That's why you adore and worship Him. Now, what I've told you is so difficult to get a hold of, but it's on every page of Scripture, Old and New Testament. But you have to read the Old Testament in the light of the New. The light of the Old Testament is not bright enough to show you your salvation. Jesus came, and when He came, He said, I am the light of the world. Then He said, you are the light of the world. Jesus was the salt of the earth that revealed the foolishness of men. Now you are the salt of the earth. Why? Because Christ is in you. Because you're His body. We're intimate with Him. We're in love with Him. We are. That's who we are. That's not who we ought to be. That's who we are. We're not ought to be. We are. But you just don't believe it. Because you don't believe, you won't see. If you believe, you will see. If you believe, you will see. Now here, all my unbelief is being worked out here in the nave, in the central portion, in the holy place. Because there's no need for a priesthood any longer. Jesus Christ is the sacrificial lamb. He is the priest. He is the Holy of Holies. He's everything. But He is now remaking you into His likeness, Christ-like in every way, spirit, soul, body. So that we can now behave the church. The church is the light of the world. Why? Because the people don't see your porch, nor do they see the holy place, because I told you they're destroyed now. All they see is the outward work. If you never arrive here, then you got stuck in the Old Testament. You got stuck in pagan religion. You got stuck out there. That's even gone. New heart, new soul, it's nothing. This is all that counts, is your salt is here. Your light is here. It's what the people see, that you actually have a different marriage. You actually have a different church. You actually have a different business. You actually have a different political system. Everything should be impacted by the church. Right hand, left hand. So we should break out in 2011 on the right hand, spiritually. That means new members and, you know, people and ministries exploding and so on. Our people, right here, us in particular. But you also should break out on the left hand, because God said, you shall break out on the right and on the left. Now, to break out means that you will have a political impact on this world. Because as a Christian, not personal, as a Christian, you are the vehicle, the cup, in which the Holy Spirit acts and operates on their behalf. I don't know why I was chosen. I don't even know who figured it out. I don't know why I was there. You know, I don't qualify for sure. But God says you will break out economically, politically, and socially. You will have an impact on Dallas-Fort Worth. You will have an impact in this state. You will have an impact in this nation. You will have an impact in this world. Amen. I've told you about Joel and the 8 million people that are in Uganda that are listening to our tapes, to our books, to all of our teachings. We send them all. Another pastor has called from Uganda. I want all your teachings and tapes. They're watching the television, Tommy, that you and Latrice help make. They're watching it all over the whole country. There's, you know, probably 20 million people listening to those teachings. And they're being blessed. I just got an email or whatever they are, yesterday. Peggy knows what those things are. I don't know what they are. Whatever, she just hands me a piece of paper. But they're all blessed incredibly in Russia, in India, in China, wherever, because I'm able to travel now because it's spiritual. It's not physical, thank God. I'm able to be here, right here. Why? Because here is not a building. It's you. Wherever you are, Jesus said, that's where I am. Wherever I am, that's where you are. If He's in heaven, you're in heaven. You are seated with Christ in heavenly places now. He is down here with us now. Because he's in our heart. He's in our soul. He's in our bodies. He wants to make known his glory to all the earth. You are pregnant with the power of Almighty God. The Son of God, who became, no, who is also the Son of Man. He does the things of the Son of Man because of who he is. We do the things of the Son of God because of who we are. We have now been made one with God, partakers of the divine nature. We are born of God. Out of God. Ek. Out of God. Ek to the God. To theo. Ek to theo. Out of the living God. That's who we are. That's our identity. I believe that. So therefore, I believe that I love my wife not because I feel something, not because I do something, but because of who I am. Outer porch. Therefore, he has killed me from thinking anything else. He's renewed my mind over and over again so that I see Peggy as my beloved in the same way that Jesus sees me as his beloved. Therefore, we worship God, which means we don't do anything. We just thank him for doing everything, praise him for doing everything, and adore him night and day. I'll tell you, the world has not seen this church. The world is looking for such a church that isn't a church in name, but in truth. They are looking for a church that they can actually see and experience the love of God amongst, not toward them, but amongst yourselves. This is how men will know you to my disciples, that you love one another. Forget loving the world. You don't even love one another. That's what they look at. They don't care that you love them and give them clothing and food and preach a lot of stuff and so on. What they want to know is, do you really live a heavenly life on earth? Or are you just saying it, talking about something you've never experienced? The church is not the church. It's only those two or three that are in your midst. That's where he is. So he's looking for the temple of the living God. I hope you're blessed by the message. This is God's holy desire. It's not yours. This is God's holy desire to change you, spirit, that is heart, soul, and body. He's already done it. Just enter into it. Start today. It doesn't hurt me to say to my wife today, I love you with all my heart and all my soul and all my strength. I love you. You are my beloved. It doesn't hurt her to say the same back. Now, we could do other things, but then I would have forgotten my identity. Therefore, I would lose my capacity. His identity created my identity, which creates a new capacity, which is why we are here, to worship God. So, worship, again, is not singing pretty and then having someone record it or notice it. It just seems, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, just as I am, without one plea. In other words, God is doing a work in us, and in 2011, you're going to see it.
Amen.
You're going to see it. Why? Because some tricky thing happened? No, it's just the truth. It's just the truth. If you don't believe, you can't make yourself believe. If you do believe, you can't make yourself not believe. If you believe who you are, and you meditate on that, chew on that, then what happened in the outer porch when Jesus died on Calvary is what is happening now through the power of the Holy Spirit who's inside of you, dwelling in you, in the nave, so that there are no beasts in here and friars and fairs and commercial things going on and so on, as always has happened in church buildings, so that you can worship God because he's done it all, and he's doing it all in you and through you. To God be the glory. When men see your good works, they will glorify your Father. Half of the world will hate you. They'll be jealous of you. If you really have love, fortunately today, you don't, so they're not. But they will. When they persecute you, you'll know, ah, that was good. I finally communicated. They saw that they were not me, and me was not they. Today, they can't tell the difference between you and them. You divorce as they divorce. You hate as they hate. You lust as they lust. You care about money as they care about money. They don't see the difference between the church and the world. So, is there a difference or not? But the difference is spiritual, not physical. The difference is spirit. Do you believe that God is who he says he is? I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Therefore, he is my Son of Man. Therefore, I am a Son of God. Therefore, I can do the works of God. Hallelujah. Hope you're blessed. Hope you understand this is going to be a powerful year of harvest and increase. Not by any human hand, but by the power of Almighty God.
Amen.